Hi, welcome back to Dangerous But Good with Craig Wilkinson, talking about how to be dangerous to whatever is a danger to society. I'm joined this morning by an absolute dynamo, Karen Greenleaf, who's the brand director at Carling Black Label, South Africa's most loved and by far the largest beer brand in the country, Zamalek, drunk by a very broad range of people, male, female, across the spectrum. It's very hard to pinpoint what is a Carling Black Label drinker because pretty much loved by most South Africans. So, Karen, fantastic to have you here. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Craig. It's so good to be here and to your champion listeners as well.
Wonderful. I see you wearing the brand, eh? The shirt.
Yep.
It's going to be displayed on camera, so it's great. Yeah. Well, it's so relevant, eh? It's 16 days of activism.
Yeah.
We bang slap in the middle of that. And we've been in partnership with Carling Black Label since 2018, so it's 6 years with our nonprofit organization, Father and Nation. Grant, one of your, not your predecessor, your previous predecessor, actually made the comment. He said, you know, with Father and Nation, we're not only married, we've actually had children together. And there's been some amazing work that's come out of the partnership. But maybe we just jump in with your thoughts on the whole dynamic tension between the fact that you're an alcohol brand, but you're also working very much in the sphere of preventing gender-based violence and also preventing alcohol abuse. Your thoughts on this? Because this is fundamental to what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the genesis of No Excuse was being acutely aware that some men who abuse alcohol also abuse women.
Right.
And instead of turning a blind eye to that, we intentionally lean into that tension. And as a brand that is an icon of masculinity, we take our role and our space in culture really exceptionally seriously, because when you are a brand this big, it comes with a level of responsibility.
Right.
And it's a responsibility for us to usher in a new generation of real champion men.
Right.
And, you know, we can't do that without addressing some of the learned behavior. And we need to shift that conversation. And as a brand with the level of, as you mentioned, scale that we do, we lean into that. And
right.
It's not just a 16 days of activism piece for us, but it's always on. It's our purpose as a brand.
Fantastic. Well, one of the things I really loved working with Carling Black Label is the passion of everyone there for this cause. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Alcohol in and of itself is not the issue. It's the abuse of alcohol, isn't it? I mean, alcohol used in its correct format or intended use is not harmful. It's when it's abused. And so the issue is abuse, and that's all we need to be a danger to. And Sharp is your social responsibility wing, which is also very active and very well-staffed and very, very thorough in what they do in the community, safe houses and all sorts of things. So maybe tell a bit more about.
You know, Carling Black Label being the biggest brand in SAB.
By some margin, isn't it?
It's very significant, and we are by far the biggest brand in beer. We play a slightly different role.
Right.
So our role on Carling Black Label is focusing on prevention.
Yes.
We lean into that. We know that the audience that we can speak to are men, and particularly vulnerable men.
Yeah.
As part of SAB, we have SAB Sharp.
Right.
And the part that they tackle is the part of the victim.
Yes.
And the response of the victim and safe houses for victims. So we believe that when we work together, we can really create a legacy of something that shifts the needle.
Yes.
But for us as a brand, we keep very focused on prevention.
Right.
Because we imagine a gender-based violence-free South Africa.
Fantastic.
And the way that that starts has to start with the men.
Yes.
Women aren't going to stop that.
Yeah.
And the more that we shine a light on the victim, which is great for other organizations that do fulfill that role, and of course there's a big need there. But as Carling Black Label, we lean into men and their role in preventing gender-based violence.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what made us such a good partnership with Father Nation, because that's our passion. You know, we ultimately don't want victims, do we? We do not want any victims. We don't want to have safe houses. I mean, it's a tragedy that we do. And the only way to do that is to stop whoever's doing the abuse, stop perpetrators. If you look back at some of the adverts years ago from Carling Black, I don't remember those. You know, it's all strong men, sweaty. And that still remains an element of masculinity, doesn't it?
Of course.
We want to call out, and that's why I love the program, the name. The other part of No Excuse is the Champions for Change program. So we're calling out the champion in men, and we're saying, guys, you know, being a man is a very good thing. It's a gift to humanity, but it can also be a curse. Mm. And so how do we pull out and draw out and magnify and inspire the champion in men to champion standing against all that is wrong in society? And that's a beautiful approach. In fact, it's quite an unusual approach, isn't it? There are very few organizations doing that. And I don't know if you saw recently the HSRC came out of the report, which delighted me because it's affirming statistically what we've been saying for many years, that there's a massive link between men's mental health and gender-based violence. Mm. We fix that, we heal men, we fix the problem, and hence the focus on men. Yeah. So it's been a great journey.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been on a journey as a brand. And I think, to be honest, culture's been on a journey around, and I often talk about this, you know, when we did talk about being a man, meaning the traditional codes of masculinity, which was strength and power and, you know, prowess and being admired by the opposite sex, you know, we saw rises of the Me Too movement, et cetera, et cetera, which made men question everything that they were. I believe globally that pendulum swung a little bit too far.
Yes, I
I believe that there is a generation of men at the moment who we can really help feel comfortable in what this new definition of a champion man is. Because in the same way that what that previous, you know, expectation was exceptionally one-dimensional. It was all about strength. It was all about prowess. It was all about, you know, how you were seen by the opposite sex and your control and the power that you had over your life. While that is negative, so is the negative of moving all the way there and losing things that are fundamentally true about men. And so what we are very intentional about doing is showing that multi-dimensional men are champion men.
Right.
That it's not about either or, but it's about being multi-dimensional and being able to show up for your family in a way that sometimes means providing, but in other ways means some things that are slightly softer. And that's where we have to break down boundaries, because that is proven behavior over time and time and time. And we as a brand are trying to set what good looks like, because unfortunately that's not on display in communities today.
100%. We're very much either, aren't we? I mean, that whole issue of prowess and power, those are not bad things. If they're misused, they're very bad things. And if they're used to dominate, very, very bad. But you're 100% right. I mean, I do a lot of work with boys in schools and colleges, and there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of fear and withdrawal. And I mean, we're seeing it in the statistics, you know, male suicide, massive, far more women internationally graduating from universities. You know, men are kind of, you know, feeling a bit left out and on the back foot. And I love the approach of saying, I often say to people, we don't need to reinvent masculinity. We need to rediscover it, you know. And boys love the story. I talk about the Titanic. I dramatize it a bit, you know, but the Titanic, when it sank, 19% of the women drowned on the ship, 75% of the men. Now, if masculinity was toxic, men would have used their physical strength to toss women out of the boats and die, you know. But instead, they put women and children first. I mean, that's masculinity, hey?
Wow.
So using your prowess to be brave and to be strong and to actually protect, not that you're superior in any way, you know. I mean, the beauty of working together is just phenomenal. And that's why I love seeing you at the head of the masculine brand. It's just beautiful. You know, because both are needed, eh? I mean, the world operates well when masculine and feminine dance.
Absolutely.
Not fight, dance. And I mean, that's what you're saying, isn't it? And it's wonderful.
It's a few bad men that ruin it for the good men. There are good men everywhere you look.
Yeah.
I tell you, I ask you now, if to all your listeners, they would be able to think of 3 to 5 good men off the top of their head, because they are there.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the stories that perpetuate are the stories of the bad men.
Yeah.
And in that, the good man is losing confidence in getting his story told.
Yeah. one. It's that silent moral majority, isn't it? It's always been the case. I mean, it was huge in American politics, you know, extreme left, extreme right, and you've got this massive middle ground that are silent, and that's the problem. Men are silent. I mean, I salute the men every day who get up and sometimes catch three taxis, sometimes get up and do backbreaking labor. I mean, these are good men, and they bring it home, and they look off. Fantastic. I mean, that is what it's all about. And the more we encourage and inspire those men, the more we're going to create a movement of good men that are standing against what's bad. It's absolutely fantastic. Talk to us a bit about the social responsibility of brands. I mean, you're a massive brand, a much loved brand. I mean, who doesn't know what a Zamalek is, you know? And as I said, across the board, South Africans drink it, you know, black, white, colored, Indian, male, female, you know, rich, poor, wherever you go, you find Zamalek. And as a brand, you can leverage that, and you are. And you know, talk about that responsibility of a brand to have an impact on communities.
Yeah, I think there's a few things here. The first is that, you know, when your brand is deeply loved, it is also deeply trusted.
Right.
And when a brand is deeply trusted, you can use that influence for good.
Yeah.
And that is what we as Carling Black Label absolutely lean into. But also, a brand needs to have a purpose. It needs to have a clear view of the impact it can make in the world. The most successful brands do that. You think of Dove, Real Beauty, and that consistent approach to really wanting to create a future that is more focused on that. There are so many brands like that. And so for us as a brand, we take that responsibility exceptionally seriously, and we try to do it in every way. We talk as a brand about recognizing and rewarding the champion within. And you can only be rewarded when you put in that effort.
Right.
And that effort translates into achievement, and that achievement translates into reward. And the reward for Carling Black Label like lovers is the chance to drink an internationally awarded beer.
Right, which is intrinsically one of the best beers in the world too.
100%. It's the most awarded beer in Africa. And so for us, it's exceptionally important to talk about that narrative of effort, achievement, reward. And as you say, you know, on a Monday, we'll always talk about get a champ, because it's about starting that week, you know, really putting in the effort.
Yes.
We have huge challenges. I mean, I always talk about the privilege of a problem. And we are so blessed in South Africa to have the problems that we do have, because it's in those problems that you see people overcome.
And purpose emerges from that.
And purpose emerges from problems. You know, I think about other spaces where you don't have the privilege of a problem. Your brands lack depth, and they lack real purpose, whereas we are so inspired. We're created for the everyday champions.
Fantastic.
And
I love that.
We want to salute them in everything that we do.
You sound like very much a glass half full kind of person. Fantastic, which is what the brand needs. I mean, going back to men and masculinity, I always say to guys, every man needs to be able to wear two faces, the warrior face and the lover face. And the warrior is the strong, resolute, take it on the chin, do what you need to do, don't cry. But it's only half the picture, hey? The other half is nurturing, caring, changing nappies, doing your share of the housework. I mean, that's being physically, I mean, emotionally present. And that's exactly the kind of champion we are looking at really producing. A lot of the work we do in communities, guys are struggling not just because of the confusion around masculinity, but also because of the economic hardship, the unemployment, and the message we give to them to be champions is that you don't have to be the breadwinner to be a man. The poorest man can leave behind the richest legacy, because it's about pitching up. It's about being there emotionally, physically. And even if you're not earning the money and you've done everything you can to knock on the doors, and so many South Africans have, you can still be a man. And men really come alive when you say that. You know, you can be a champion without money, because society's message to men is, unless you've got money, you're useless. You're not a man. You're hopeless. And that leads to, you know, escaping into alcoholism and drug abuse and all these different things. But it doesn't have to be the case.
Yeah. I think it raises for me this discussion on man as a provider, right? Which was a historic narrative in masculinity. Yeah. And that definition of provider was very economic, right? It was, women weren't given with the same opportunities, and therefore men were the economic powerhouses.
Right.
And that is where we've seen a huge shift in culture.
Globally.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the most important thing is to be aware that being a provider in today's days doesn't need to be
just money.
Just money.
Absolutely.
That you can be a provider. You can still be the provider mm-hmm. for your family.
Yeah.
It just looks different. You can yeah. provide emotional support. You 100%. Can provide help with homework. Mm-hmm. You can provide, you know, support to your community. Mm-hmm. There are things that can be done that still make you a provider. There is not one definition of yeah. a provider.
I love that. I mean, it reminds me of a story. One of our mentors was chatting to a woman, a female judge, a magistrate, and he said to her, you know, what do you attribute your success to? And she said, she actually teared up and she said, my dad. And she said, we grew up in a very poor family. My dad was often unemployed. In fact, she said, at times we lived in a shack. But she said, every morning when I got up, my dad had got up before me, boiled the kettle, made water for me to wash. Every time I got back from school on the bus, he was there. And he had no money, but he gave exactly what you're saying. He provided something in many ways more valuable than you know, the latest iPhone. You know, he provided that support. And that's a true man. That's a true champion. Mm. You're also calling out to champion females because there's been an increase in the number of women drinking Samalek too and women champions too, you know. So it's this calling out the gold within, the champion within, isn't it? And it's very inspiring.
That's a very interesting point because I want to be really clear on our stance as a brand. Mm. We are unapologetically mm-hmm. a masculine brand.
Right.
If in doing that, mm-hmm. we meet the needs of women and mm-hmm. we know that our actual beer is delicious and right, is a flavor palette that is loved by women,
yes, yes.
we will always ensure that we are a masculine brand
right.
because we believe that is what men need.
Right.
They need a brand mm-hmm. that is unapologetically masculine mm-hmm. so that they are recognized mm-hmm. and rewarded.
Right.
And it's been amazing to see the female sentiment behind mm-hmm. particularly No Excuse. And
right.
it's definitely built connection
yes.
with women, which is wonderful, right? The mm-hmm. the ripple effect of that is mm-hmm. incredible. But as a brand, our center of gravity mm-hmm. will always be anchored in masculinity.
I love that. You know what's beautiful about that is, so I'll go back to a lot of the young men I work with. You know, I say to them, are you proud to be a man? And they kind of say, yeah, yeah. I said, would you tweet that? No. Why not? No, we'd be cancelled. You know, so to have men being ashamed of the fact that, you know, I mean, the whole hashtag men are trash movement is basically saying just simply by being a man, you're trash, you know. And this counters that. Mm. It's saying, and in fact, you know, I do a lot of work with allyship in organizations. And I say, you know, to be an ally is to be an ally to women is to be an ally to humanity. And to be an ally to men is to be an ally to humanity. Because first and foremost, we're human. And humanity has masculine and it has feminine. Mm. And they're both equally important and valuable, but they're stunningly different.
Mm.
And so to have a brand that's unapologetically masculine doesn't mean it's not pro-woman at all, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think this is the mistake we make. We either or, aren't we? I mean, we're either Republican or Democrat. We're either black or white. We're either male or female. And it's such a foolish notion, isn't it? Because we're all human beings. Mm. And if we support one, we support the other. So I love that.
Yeah.
Unapologetically masculine.
We will continue to be an unapologetically masculine brand.
Which is not anti-woman.
It's not anti-woman.
It's in fact pro-woman. Because good men... champion men, the greatest beneficiaries of champion men are society. It's a woman and children, you know. And I always say that to men, you know, the greatest gift you can be to your wife is to be an excellent man. A man who is able to be strong and resolute and, you know, but also able to care and nurture. And that's a beautiful thing. Tell us a bit about the soccer is a huge feature. You've just come out of the Carling, and there was an amazing, surprising winner there, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Giant Killers taking the Carling knockout.
I see Jack shaking his head there. Your team suffered, eh? Pain, I can see the pain. He's smiling, but he's feeling pain. But soccer's massive in this nation, mm-hmm. and it's such a beautiful tool. And the upcoming and PSL and the agreement, the partnership between PSL and Carling Black Label is a beautiful one. And No Excuse, where we'll be working with all 16 PSL teams and training up their young men. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we talk about a deep passion point, mm-hmm. which is soccer,
yeah.
and. You know, in understanding soccer and really getting under the hood of soccer culture, mm-hmm. through research that we've mm-hmm. done, we've found that soccer players and other members in the soccer fraternity often, you know, when they rise to where they are, mm-hmm. they can go from poverty to becoming role models. And they are role models, you know, whether or not they signed up for that, they become role models overnight. But they're not given the tools in the toolbox on how to deal with that. And so what we then see is that, in a way, some of the behavior is not the behavior that we want to be role modeled. And whether or not they like it, they are role models. And everything that is on display is you know, young South African men are looking at these soccer players and going, everything that they've got, I want.
Yes.
But if we're not equipping the players and the fraternity with the tools, then we're missing a beat in terms of real influence. And we talk about using soccer as an influence for good because soccer is inherently influential in this country. Yeah. It is the single biggest passion point, you know. And so we have a 13-year history with the PSL. In fact, as SABU, it's even longer than that. I think it's about 30 years from my last conversation with Chairman. And what we appreciate is that both the PSL and ourselves are very acutely aware of this gap and are acutely aware of the influence that we have in our hands. And so we are partaking on a, and we started last year, I think we took four teams through the Champions for Change program.
Right.
And our learnings from that were, you know, the material is good and very interesting, but it's not bespoke to understanding the mindset of particularly younger players and newer members of the soccer fraternity. And so we've been on a journey to develop content that is bespoke, engaging, and it meets the fraternity where they are.
Fantastic.
And so from early next year, we'll be rolling that out. We have approval from the PSL that all 16 teams, it will be a mandatory requirement. And it's not only a once-off training, but it's access to tools like an always-on WhatsApp line, like an online therapist that is available that when they're feeling vulnerable or, you know, we talk about it's often a crossroad of choices. And because you're not equipped with the tools, they struggle to know which choice to make.
Right.
And it's to give them the tools in their toolbox to try and do that. And in doing so, create real role models that will then nurture the next generation of young men. We've also, as No Excuse, found a big and very powerful insight that we know to be true is that gender-based violence spikes after games when passionate football fans, tensions are exceptionally high. We know oftentimes inflamed by alcohol. And so we are talking specifically about the real injury time. You know, the injury time in a game is are the minutes that are added on to recoup lost opportunities during the game where there was injury. And ultimately, for women who face this, that opportunity to recoup the time doesn't come. And so what we're arming and aiming to achieve with this is to say to South Africans, whether your team wins or loses, there is no excuse for gender-based violence. And to use that critical time at the end of a game where tensions are even higher. I mean, even in the Carling knockout, we saw in those last few minutes, you know, riot police having to be available because everyone's looking at that scoreboard. They want their team to convert. Tensions are high. And that tension, unfortunately, makes its way home. And we are trying to encourage men to catch themselves at that moment, to be aware that they have the, it's in their hands as to what happens after that game.
Fantastic. And this, again, is global. You know, in the UK, the statistics came out. After a Premier League football match, violence, domestic violence increases. The program that we've developed together is very much around being the voice of the father that these young men never had. You know, they're growing up and unfathered. You know, South Africa, 60% of boys and girls growing up without a father. And a lot of these things, and single moms, heroes in this nation, but stretched beyond belief, you know, working long hours, kids are at home, you know, unfathered, and particularly boys, you know, with the testosterone and the things that kick in, need that present, engaged, disciplined father who teaches them how to be a man, you know, teaches them how to curb the over-enthusiasm and the tendencies of that testosterone produces. And this program is very much aimed at that. You know, these a young boy grows up, suddenly he's a superstar. And how does he handle it? How does he deal with all this? You know, because the narrative coming at him from society is, we talk about the four big lies that men get hit with: sex, power, money, and big boys don't cry. You know, you know, the more sexual partners they have, the more of a man, the more power, the more money, you know. And that's why you see a lot of these young guys who suddenly earn money. They've got the Range Rovers and Mercs, you know, and it's blowing it. So this is a very powerful program, and I love the two-pronged aspect. The one is to help the young men who've got the stardom to be excellent men, excellent role models, and then to leverage the influence into the rest next generation. It's a great program. Oh.
Yeah, I think we're particularly encouraged by this not being once-off. Yeah. We are trying to build a movement.
Yeah.
We really want this to be a living, breathing, sustainable approach to at least showing a version to young men of what good looks like.
Yeah.
And as you say, you know, the prevalence of fatherlessness in this country, that's not something that we can fix.
No.
What we can influence is that those tools and the things that we hoped that good men and good fathers passed down, that we can close that gap.
Yeah.
And so that is exceptionally important. And you mentioned earlier about soccer and violence going hand in hand, and we do see this as a universal truth, is that this beautiful game breeds so much passion, but passion can be used for good and passion can be used for bad.
Yeah.
And our aim is to translate this passion into a force for good.
Fantastic. Well, soccer brings a lot of young boys off the street. You know, it gives it's a passion point. You know, I can either take drugs and drink, or, you know, but if I want to be a good soccer player, I can't do that. You know, I've got to look after my body and my mind and my time. So it's a fantastic tool for really creating excellent men.
I think you mentioned something earlier that I just wanted to bring up, is that, you know, it's very easy to talk about alcohol abuse as being the problem. And what we lean into is to say that the reason the alcohol is abused is the thing that we want to address.
100%.
Because without addressing that, we're just putting a plaster on something that is actually deeper. And there is a lack of understanding of what positive masculinity can be and can look like. And men are exceptionally difficult because men don't talk. And because men don't talk and their levels of self-awareness are not at the level where that they can communicate what they're feeling, is that we need to encourage that.
Yeah, 100%.
And so even in the PSL program, it's to give space within teams and language within teams to hold each other accountable, and also to become spaces where they can go to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that brings me to many of the programs that we've collectively run with the Champions of Change over the years. And one of the most powerfully successful ones has been the Champion Conversations, where we've taken smaller groups of men, 12, 15, and facilitated the conversation and created a platform where men can talk. And the results have been absolutely remarkable. You know, men have turned away from murder. Men have stopped abusing men because they suddenly have a safe place to talk. And we're also teaching them the language of articulating emotions. We're saying it's safe to do that. To be vulnerable is not to be weak. In fact, it's much – you know, someone said that the biggest lie men tell is, I'm fine, when they're not. You know, someone comes, hey, Craig, how are you doing? Hey, brother, I'm good, you know, when I'm not. It's much easier to say I'm good. To say I'm struggling, it takes a lot of courage, you know. And as you rightly say, when you create that platform for men to do that, things change. And then on top of that, you teach them, this is what positive masculinity is. And again, in partnership with Colin Baker, we developed the six-pack of masculine virtues, you know, which is the six-pack you have on your stomach is important, it's lovely, but the one inside is far more important, you know. The other insight, I think, too, that came about as the research for this PSL program was that the best way to and you know, both your organization and ours are looking to ways to optimize impact, to maximize impact, because we need a national movement, don't we, of positive, healthy masculinity. And we're doing pockets of it and we're seeing wonderful individual results, but you want this to spread. One of the insights is that young boys look to older men to model to them what it means to be a man. They look to older men for their cues. And if we can find men that are slightly older, and of course, as an alcohol brand, we deal with men over 18 and preferably even over 25, to equip them and enable them to be that role model that can model to the next generation how to be good men. And that's a powerful knock-on effect, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, to do a movement, which is what we all dream of, right? We dream of a movement.
Yeah.
Is that you have to understand where that influence is. And I think that's what we've been on a long journey to discover. And we are still trying to figure out what's the way. What's the way we can use our scale? But I think what's important to note is that doing a lecture is not going to change this.
Yeah. And particularly for men.
Particularly for men. And to get men to open up is exceptionally difficult. It's exceptionally difficult. And so, you know, really modeling good men of the previous generation and giving them the tools to be able to speak to the new generation is a very, very important part of our plans.
Absolutely. It is the most effective way. Leveraging impact and influence. I mean, some of the programs we've collectively experimented. We've done a lot of six-a-side soccer tournaments, which is great. We'll show some footage shortly. And we've done the champion camps. We take 100 men away on a camp. Also powerful because that's very experiential. Workshops, so it's been a broad variety. The WhatsApp number, the bravest thing's been a powerful tool too, where men can actually WhatsApp and reach out to a brother who we provide to provide support. And that's what men need to be able to do, have brothers standing around them. As you said right early on the beginning, that men need to drive this process, because an abusive man by his very nature is not going to listen to a woman, but he will listen to a brother who says, hey, dude, not cool, you know, and we need to hold each other accountable. Support each other, but also hold each other accountable.
Yeah. And I think you're right, Craig. I think, you know, as a brand and collectively, we've built tools. Mm-hmm. We've built the Champions for Change program available at noexcuse.com. We have a smaller one and a longer one.
Yeah.
We have the WhatsApp line. I think the importance of the WhatsApp line is about understanding that you're feeling in a vulnerable space.
Yeah.
Because if we believe that if we can cut through with some of our communication and make men acknowledge that they are feeling vulnerable.
And make it okay.
And make it okay to be that vulnerable. Yeah. To be that vulnerable.
You're not less manly.
No, not at all. In fact, you are more manly.
Far more courageous.
You are taking accountability on yourself and going, I'm feeling as if I'm not okay, and I'm going to get some help, and then I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to be arguably far more successful than if I'd continued to live in that space. Yeah.
And the other side to that is men need to know that they're important. You know, if a man doesn't think he's important, he's of no value, he's not going to look after himself. But if he realizes, you know, someone once said that every suicide is like a suicide bomber. And that's quite true, because a suicide bomber covers himself with shrapnel that kills so many people. But every time someone takes his life, it damages so many people that loved that person and needed that person to step up and be there. So by telling men they're important, you encourage them to look after themselves. And if you are important, if you're struggling, reach out for help, man, because there's no shame in that. Mm. And people need you. It's not just for you. It's for the rest of the community.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you a couple of clips. And it'd be great to, you know, just to look back over the 6 years at some of the things that have happened.
Kakhulukazi umuntu wesilisa ubabhizi nawe uma kuthiwa niyasebenza nakasebenzi ayibona sengathi yena akaselutho ngaleso sikhathi beseqala beseyakufayitha-ke uyakushaya ibashintshe kakhulu since mina nifikile la ino excuse kubantu bethu besilisa basiphethe kahle kakhulu sibonga kakhulu sengathi ningangadinwa aniqhubeke ngale ndlela enibafundisa ngakhona ngoba kubuhlungu abo kuhlusha umuntu wakho ukuthi uyamthanda.
Profound, isn't it? It's painful to be abused by someone you love. I mean, that's just, but that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? The ultimate goal is for women like that to be safe. They didn't used to be safe. They are safe now. And I mean, it's just so wonderful to look back and see the impact of Champions for Change and impact of No Excuse from the horse's mouth, from a victim's mouth to is no longer a victim. That's profoundly powerful.
And just to add to that, in that video, I think that tension of a woman being employed and a man being unemployed.
Yeah.
Creating that deep resentment that has nowhere to go. Therefore, it goes out at the woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, without that intervention, how might that story have ended?
Oh.
Would it have ended in her stopping her job because she couldn't? And then that doesn't move anyone forward. And I think that's a very, very powerful illustration of that tension we were talking about.
Yeah. And the fact that men who are not working feel useless.
Yeah.
And for us to bring the message, as you said earlier, you know, employment and providing doesn't just mean financial.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, look, that unfortunately, that lady could have been dead today. She could have been. You know, had the abuse continued. Mm. How many women are? You know, it's crazy. So, I mean, the impact of this is huge.
At first, I was a quite aggressive person. I was a person filled with anger. Up until I found this initiative, it actually changed my life. I can think better. I can control my emotions better. I used to think that alcohol would change my problems, but instead it made me worse. It made me an animal. I used to be involved in verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. So it's thanks to Men's Forum that I've changed. I'm a better man.
Another beautiful testimony of a guy, you know, and to go back to the point which you made profoundly earlier, that the alcohol is a means of escaping the pain that's already there. And some people turn to alcohol, some to porn, some to, you know, a wide range of different things. It's the anesthetic, isn't it? And if you can heal the wound that drives to the abuse, that's what this is all about.
Sure. That's very powerful.
This is a video which just talks about the pain men are experiencing. This is a guy we dealt with in the Northern Cape. En hy listen to his story.
My ma was 'n enkel ouer. Ek het sonder my pa groot geraak. Op die ouderdom van 9 jaar oud toe sterwe sy. Het ek by my ouma en my oupa gebly. As hy dronk is, dan het hy altyd ingekom, beklei en my ouma geslaan en vir ons geslaan. This is the stick that they actually use also to beat me. Sometimes beat me on my head with it. Die bed, dan ek se beskerm my dan omdat hy my nie weer kan verder slaan nie, want dan sikkel hy eindelijk vir my om my hier uit te kry onder die bed uit. Wat my eindelijk hart seer maak is net om te dink dat just daar was hier in die tijd iemand gewees wat kon na my gekyk het of wat daar kon gewees het om my net like te help en so nie. Ja. Dit is eindelijk wat my net seer maak.
Profound, isn't it? You know, they say wounded men become men who wound. And there's an example of an abusive father who beat his son. And luckily, he came on one of our programs, one of the camps, and found incredible healing. And that's why we interviewed him afterwards. But again, so heart moving to see the impact of the programs.
And I think just to overlay there, I think, you know, it's important for us to understand that that hurt exists and those feelings are real.
Yeah.
But it's what you do with that anger and that those feelings and that lived experience. Yeah. That's what matters.
Very much
as
so.
A brand and collectively, we don't believe in removing that or ignoring that, but rather being aware of it and knowing how to right the wrongs of that.
Yeah, heal it, restore
heal it.
It.
Yeah,
100%.
Absolutely.
This is on a more cheerful note, I think. This is a camp in Alex. This is 100 men from Alexander who came away in a camp, and many lives changed. Some of the guys are still working with us. This was probably 5 years back.
Sure.
So very encouraging to see that. This is the pledge they do afterwards. One of the guys who went on a camp with us in Polokwane, one of the Champions for Change camps, he's still working for us now. He's employed by us. He was a father of 9 children from 4 different, what they call baby mamas, had been estranged from many of his kids, and after the camp went and reconnected with all of them, and is now a paragon of goodness in his community, you know, as a mentor. So the impact that our partnership has had has been enormous. And you know, it couldn't have been done without Carling Black Label. It could not have been done without the support of a brand that believes in changing the world. And so these partnerships are powerful. They really are. Let me play one. Any comments on that one?
Yeah, I think just to your story around reconnecting with the children is, I think we talk about righting wrongs. Mm. And being an active father is the most influential way to right the wrongs of what you were potentially exposed to.
Correct.
And I think that that is such a powerful, you know, we talk about influence. Mm-hmm. That is where men have so much influence, is if they can shift the narrative with their own children, then that is really rallying a new generation of men.
Absolutely.
And I think that responsibility for a lot of men can feel overwhelming, that they push away from it. And we would, I suppose, together, collectively, encourage men to lean into and use that role as father as an opportunity to to change.
Absolutely, Karen. I mean, that's calling a man to break the cycle. That's calling the champion in a man to say, you know, whatever happened before behind me does not happen in front of me. You know, you break. Someone beautifully said, you know, be the father you wish you had.
You had.
And then you'll never have to say, I wish I had a father, because you are that man. You're breaking the cycle. And calling out the champion with it is exactly that. It's breaking the cycle. I think there's one more clip I want to show you and our viewers. It's a soccer. This is a soccer tournament.
Then put that fist on your heart. And then can you say these words after me? As a champion.
I acknowledge
the damage done
in my community
by gender-based violence.
And I believe
there is no excuse.
So today
I pledge
not to be silent,
not to be a bystander.
I pledge to always take action.
Let's say that louder.
I pledge to always take action.
Against gender-based violence.
Amanda!
Where to?
You see the excitement in soccer, hey? I mean, these are, there was a full day six-a-side soccer tournament used as a tool to just inspire men to say, you know, we're playing for the world of our nation. We're playing to be good men. And good stuff.
I think it's always encouraging to see men around sport.
Yeah.
Because it is the place where men can truly connect.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like potentially what it looks like with, you know, other people in terms of like deep, meaningful conversations.
Right.
But across that game, so much is shared.
Yeah.
And that is, it's such a powerful point of influence.
Yeah. Mm. Fantastic. Closing off, any final words that you want to share with our listeners? I mean, you've shared some beautiful insights, and it's so good to see your passion for this and the passion of the brand, you know?
Yeah, I think the parting one for me is around all of the viewers here is to take their role exceptionally seriously.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means having uncomfortable conversations and calling your loved ones out on behavior that's incorrect.
Yeah.
And at the same time, celebrating the good men around you.
Absolutely.
Because it is unfortunately a few bad men that get all of the attention. And and I would encourage everyone to recognize the good men the same way that, you know, Carling does that with champion men.
Yeah.
Recognize the good men around you and recognize that that is, it's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice to be a good man, and that needs to be celebrated and rewarded.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting if you think about, thank you for those words. If you think about the thing that men crave most from women, it's not what you think it is. It's respect.
Mm.
Respect. And obviously, if you're not worthy of respect, you don't get it. But you know, those men who are, you know, the more respect men are given by the men and women, the more they come alive, you know. And I think this bringing out the gold within does exactly that. It acknowledges that. You know? So thank you so much. Just a final word. What a wonderful conversation. And lovely to see the passion of so many people in South Africa to heal and to restore and to fix. I often say when I travel abroad that South Africa has the best people in the world. We really do, because we've been through the fire. We've been forged in tremendous hardship and a history of great brutality. But what's emerged is the most amazing men and women in our nation. And to the guys out there, you're a champion, man. There's gold within you. And we want to help you bring that out and be everything you were designed to be. For the woman out there, please don't accept false masculinity. Never accept abuse. Never stay in a relationship where there is abuse. Get allies and find a way of getting out of it. But honor and respect the men in your life that are good men. Because the more we build an army of good men, the more we're going to eliminate all the abuse that has taken place in our nation. So all the best, and go out there and be dangerous but good.